This is Dr. Letitia Wright, and we're here at IDCDating.com's podcast. We are talking today with Rocky Fino, and our topic is, Will Cook for Sex? That's right, Will Cook for Sex, A Guy's Guide to Cooking. Welcome to the podcast, Rocky.
How you doing, Dr. Wright?
I am doing great. Let me tell you a little bit about Rocky. Number one, the book Will Cook for Sex is a lovely, well put together, beautiful cookbook. And at an early age, Rocky had a passion for good food and a healthy appetite. And so he was a sous chef. That's what they call it? Did I say it right?
Sous chef would be correct.
Okay. With his father. And Rocky's father, we call him the old man. He often handled most of the cooking for the busy family of six, and he had a flair for inventing fabulous menus. Aside from cooking for the ladies in their lives, Rocky and the old man have enjoyed an active lifestyle, hunting, fishing, sailing, and on their weekend passes. Having achieved success in their own kitchens, they began testing a few of their gourmet creations on their usually grateful friends. The guys would then take these satiating menus home to their wives, who beg them to develop their own culinary skills. Well, now the father and son bond is still strong, and Rocky enjoys experimenting with his extensive library of cookbooks and recipes and the restaurants that give him inspiration. He and the old man frequently enjoy dining in some of the California's top culinary destinations, where they have an opportunity to sample the creations of top executive chefs. Rocky oftentimes will order unusual and interesting menu items that, if impressed, incorporate the flavors into his own simpler gourmet creations. He's from Arcadia, California, and he's one of four children. He attended Temple University in Philadelphia, where he earned his degree in radio, television, and film. Upon returning to Southern California, he participated in a Master's of Professional Writing program at USC and later earned his MBA from Cal State San Bernardino. Welcome, Rocky, to the show.
That sounds pretty good there. Maybe sound better than I am.
Yeah, you sound very, very impressive. Well, I've known you for a little while, and everywhere I go, everybody loves just the concept, we'll cook for sex. And they love talking about it, and they love saying we'll cook for sex as many times as possible. So explain to everybody what you're talking about, we'll cook for sex.
Well, it's a little bit, I'm a little guilty of stating the obvious. I mean, I came up with an idea that based on my own personal experience, women like to see a guy put forth a little effort and a guy have some talent somewhere and have a lot of money too. But, if you don't have the money, you got to work your way other angles. But I found that in my dating lives and playing around that, whenever I got into the kitchen and offered to prepare a meal, it was just amazing how impressed she would be, or even her friends or anybody that you always cook for. It's so few people cook nowadays that I just found it, I'm telling you, it worked for me.
So it was just a natural skill that you found was really impressive in the dating world.
Well, yeah, and what's funny about it is I actually like doing it. So it wasn't like it was a stretch, because I preferred to get in the kitchen anyway. If she was going to be there or not, I was going to cook a meal for myself. But the fact that, it worked twofold there. Impressing her.
Now, what do you say to the women that go, "Well, you cook, you clean, you've got to be gay"?
You know what? It's just playing on a stereotype of misconception that people think. I think there's a big misconception that people think bachelors and men in general are pigs. I don't think we are. Women can afford to be sloppy, because if we get invited over to her house, we're not turning around because she's got a dirty, because her living room's got stuff on the floor or her bathroom. We're there. On a guy's end, you got to have everything in place, because you just don't know when you're going to make the mistake that turns her out the door. So you've got to make sure your house is clean. And I think a lot of guys, especially single guys, they know this. They know that at any moment, we're dealing with women here, at any moment we can make a mistake. So we're doing everything we can to make it look as nice as we can. And, of course, whenever you're preparing a meal for them, I totally encourage guys, to take the extra step for a little ambiance on the table. Provide the table set. Provide the candlelight. Make it good all the way through.
Okay, make it a total experience.
Make it the total experience. And whatever you do, don't dare pull out, "You cook, I clean." the guy who had created that line died a lonely man.
That's good. We're going to remember that. Now, you say, warning, a cute move with beer and pizza only works if you're Ben Affleck.
That's right. You know, you've seen it scripted in Hollywood where the guy's got the dirty apartment and he pulls out the beer and the pizza trick. And, of course, it's somebody like Kate Hudson and she falls for it. Well, come on. That's Hollywood. That's going to work once, maybe, if you're a really handsome guy and you're real debonair. For the rest of us guys, we got to do it a little, we got to up the ante a little bit.
Now, you also tell people, guys, to do first course, second course, third course, to really stretch it out?
Yeah, I like the idea. I mean, it connotates fine dining when you bring one plate out at a time. When you eat at a restaurant, it's typically this way. You don't want, to push a salad onto the plate next to, a vegetable side and an entree, and it's all crammed on there and sauces are moving around and changing flavors. That's one reason. Another reason is, it extends the evening. It's part of the show. You're presenting a meal. You've worked pretty hard at it. You want it to be nice, and you want to take time in between courses for both parties to enjoy it. It's easier that way. And the other key to me, this is me personally, when I'm moving and grooving in the kitchen real fast, I sweat. I'm Italian. I'm sweating. I'm moving fast. And boy, that's just a turnoff for any woman. If you're having to try and coordinate 3-4 dishes the first time ever in your life, and you're coming out there and you're wiping the towel on your brow, and you got a dirty apron in front of you and stuff, it just doesn't go off the way you hope.
Image
is everything.
Image is everything. Okay. Let's talk about the basic equipment. You want people to have 3 nonstick pans. You want them to have all this stuff. It kind of seems like a lot, but...
You know what? That picture in the book, I'll tell you, that's one of the errors. We put in the equipment that we used to create the book. Now, what I'm saying in basic equipment, aside from the photo that you're referring to, is unlike a lot of cookbooks on the shelf that are prepared by master chefs, they have all this gear that in a commercial kitchen that we, the novices in our home kitchens, have no clue what it is. And a lot of people think that, I can't cook, I don't have the gear. Well, you don't need much. You just need some good pans, good nonstick pans preferably. They don't even have to be expensive, because if you buy the cheap ones, you use them up, throw them out, and get a new one. Get a decent knife. Or a set of a decent knives, and from there you can get going and add a few items along the way as you get better. But all these excessive items you see at the kitchen culinary stores that are really neat for people that like to shop, you don't need.
Okay.
You can get away without a lot of that stuff.
Okay. Now, you also talk about basic essential ingredients, and I'm going to go through each of them, and I want you to tell me a little bit why they are important. Olive oil. Everybody's cooking with olive oil.
Olive oil is I'm Italian. It's lifeblood. Now, people nowadays are very, very, especially with the Food Channel, it's not just olive oil anymore. The oils are like wines. People are very particular about what oils they use. If you stick with just a decent extra virgin olive oil, it's kind of an all-around oil that you can use to get going. It'll work for salad dressings. It'll work for the pan, for sautéing in your pan. It's better. It's a better oil. It's a better flavoring oil. It's a better healthier oil than some of the American, canolas and any of those Wessons or any of that kind of thing that you see. So, and I think that's pretty common knowledge now. I like, you got to have it in the cupboard. You're going to need it no matter what you do.
Okay. Let's talk about salt, because when I go shopping, where I shop, there's a lot of exotic, sea salts and, just all these different salts. And I'm like, where's the little Morton's girl?
Yeah, trust me. Again, Food Network has exposed people to this gourmet world that has broadened people's horizons to realize that there's not just salt anymore. You've got all these, you've got kosher, you've got sea salt, you've got evaporated, crystals, you got all kinds of things. And they have, everybody's got their reasoning to use certain high-level salts. For the purpose of getting started, get yourself, just have some salt in the cupboard. Morton's going to do you fine.
Okay.
I mean, you want to use an evaporated sea salt for reasons of you know, not using bleaches and other organics. You know, that's your own preference.
Okay.
But as far as flavoring, yeah, I mean, a kosher salt will take you places when you're getting deeper into what you know how to do. But when you're getting started, and especially with the recipes I've recommended to get going, you don't, you know, salt.
Okay. Let's talk about pepper, because I'm sure you mean pepper that we're going to grind fresh. Is that?
Freshly ground pepper is better.
Okay.
There's no doubt about it. Freshly ground pepper has, you know, it that's when you grind it is when you, you know, exfoliate the flavor of the pepper, and it's not everybody has the grinder, not everybody has the cracked pepper. A lot of times, you know, you still need just have that pepper shaker in the cupboard.
Okay.
You know, for the sake of using pepper when you need it. But when you're preparing something, you're going to be better off with fresh cracked pepper.
Okay. Butter. Let's talk about butter. I love what Julie Child said, is that all these people stop using butter, their skin's going to flake off and they're going to flake away.
You know, I've never understood the margarine craze ever in my life. I grew up in a household that we never had it in the household. Any of those fake butters that were, you know, that was just not heard of in our house. I mean, real butter is, you know, it's been around for a long time, and it's a key, and you know, it's a key flavoring ingredient. I prefer unsalted butter, and then you use salt separately.
Okay.
It helps when you're cooking with certain, you know, certain aspects of cooking. You know, there's a lot of butter out there too, but you know, you just gotta. Part of my basic ingredients plan is these items that we're going through. You want to have these in your fridge and your cupboard at all times.
Okay.
Because these are items that are going to come up literally on every recipe you make. You're going to at some point in time need either butter, salt, pepper, olive oil.
Okay.
Or in the case of what you're leading into, you know, your vinegars for salad dressings.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you about.
Yeah.
White wine vinegar.
White wine vinegar is key to me to have them covered, because what I tried to do in The World Cook for Sex was every salad was you prepare your own dressing. You make a light vinaigrette, whether it's a raspberry vinaigrette or a citrus vinaigrette or, you know, lemon vinaigrette. You're using three basic ingredients. You're using your oil, your vinegar, your white wine vinegar, and whatever the third item is, if it's lime juice or raspberries, crushed raspberries, or whatever, and you're creating a very nice, healthy, flavorful, light vinaigrette, as opposed to relying on the bottled dressings that you see all over the supermarket shelves that are really pretty bad. Once you get, you know, once you establish a palate, most of those dressings are pretty lousy.
Okay, and of course the flour.
Again, an item that's going to come up, an item that you don't want to get in a situation where you're preparing something. Typically, you're browning something, and you don't have the flour around, so you can lightly flour it. Browning meats before you simmer them seems to provide a better look, presentation, flavor. Provides a little crunch on the outside. It's a key ingredient that you want to have in your cupboard.
Okay, and do you recommend having two aprons, one that you cook with and one that you can, when you bring the plate out?
No. But I'm saying if you're getting really heavy and you're moving fast and cooking a bunch of things, you're going to make a mess. If you're doing it, you know, course by course, you've got yourself a little organized, which is key. Get yourself organized before she comes over. You can prepare the food without, you know, and still just, you know, wipe on the apron a little bit. No, you know, little finger stains on the apron, no problem. If it's fully, you know, loaded from top to bottom with the blood stains and everything, that's probably not going to look too good.
Okay.
I'm telling you, and I'm key on the apron.
Okay.
I know it for a fact. Women get weak in the knees when they see a guy in the apron.
Okay.
They're hot for the apron.
That's an important
I think
important
so.
Item. Okay. Well, we want you to come back, and will you come back and share some recipes with us in the future?
You bet I will.
Okay.
Love to.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for being a part of IDC Dating's podcast. This is Dr. Wright for IDCDating.com, creating multicultural relationships every day. And, of course, you can get all of the information about Rocky's book will cook for sex at www.idcdating.com. Remember, ignoring one's consciousness is neither safe nor right. And I'll see you next time.